Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Cryptocurrency, I want to continue on this just a couple of more minutes because it's complicated. You got a teenage thief, got $36 million in cryptocurrencies. How? Intercepted authentication technology and got the bitcoins there, or got the digital currency. Bitcoin creator Satoshi Nakamoto might be discovered as they go to court in Florida. Hopefully we'll get the real answers, but I doubt it. But ladies and gentlemen, they say cryptocurrency faces a quantum computing problem. Two cutting-edge technologies that promise to revolutionize entire fields may be on a collision course, they say. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. The blockchain accounting technology that powers cryptocurrencies could be vulnerable to sophisticated attacks on the transactions. In other words, on the blockchain. And it could basically create sophisticated attacks and forge transactions if quantum computing matures faster than efforts to future-proof digital money. So what am I saying, you say? Sam, come on now. That's just confusing there. They say once quantum computing becomes powerful enough, then essentially all the security guarantees will go out the window. Yeah, that's right. What do I mean? Well, what if I have a computer so fast, it doesn't matter what password you create. Now think of password as public encryption key or private encryption key. What if I have a computer that's so fast, it doesn't matter what your key is. I can run algorithms so quickly, I can, by elimination, discover it. And then if I use that, I can disrupt all your blockchain transactions, right? And then people say, no, Sam, don't worry. There's already post-quantum computing technology out there. There's people working on that too. I know. But what's after quantum technology, ladies and gentlemen? What's faster than that in the mathematical equations? Well, Sam, we don't know yet, and there's nothing on the market yet. How do you know? How do you know the military doesn't have a big old secret beyond quantum computing capability that can crack anything you've got? How do you know they don't already have quantum computers that already have cracked all the blockchains? And that's how the government's so hip and up on everything related to blockchain. And whenever someone commits a scam, the government's right on top of it. Even though it's transparent but secret, the government just somehow knows. Of course, they can't tell you who created the currency, but other than that, they know everything, right? See, the lie is in this idea that we, man, have the technology. Well, by golly, I can create myself a 64-bit encrypt. I mean, 128-bit. I mean, a 256-bit. I mean, a 512-bit encryption key. You can't hack me. And the answer is, we'll see. Yeah, we don't need this much memory in a computer. That's probably the upper limit we'll ever need, they used to say. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the problem. This is the lie. And you got blockchain technology, which supposedly is going to revolutionize the world and get the government out of the central control of money. But I think that'll be the very essence of government taking over money. If government then deems it a threat because it's too decentralized, then government will control it all. That's if it's not centralized from the beginning under the guise of being decentralized. I digress. I'm just telling you that these two technologies are clashing, and it's a fiasco, and it's no better than any other fiat currency, never has, never will be. And that's why I say don't dip your toe in the crypto. Eldon Stahl with me, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Rust had to take off after the first hour. RustCoinAndGift.com doing a phenomenal job advocating for honest, intrinsic value. Gold and silver currency, as our founding fathers and the Bible understood, to be critical to the stability of honest money and to moral transactions. And it's all being blown up under this digital currency idea. But it's nothing more than just another digital currency that's a fiat currency. Eldon Stahl, what do you say to all that?
Yeah, we need honest currency. This reminds me of the story of Ray Charles, who as many know, he was blind. When he first started out, people paid him in cash, but of course he couldn't see how many bills there were, and they said, well, it's this much money, and he trusted them, and of course soon found out that not everybody is trustworthy in this world. So he insisted from then on out to be paid in $1 bills.
Wow. All right. All the security guarantees out the window. What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
That's really important to kind of understand. All security goes out the window, and that's really the Achilles tendon of this thing. The other thing that people don't understand is this. When they believe something is super secure because it's encrypted and all this kind of stuff, when I send you something, you've got to somehow be able to confirm that it's right. In other words, at some point, you've got to decode it, access it, whatever word you want to use. Most of the hacking takes place on the before it's encoded or after it's decoded side. So maybe somebody's not smart enough to get at your encryption, but they are smart enough to get at the beginning and the end and wedge themselves somehow in the middle, wedge themselves in a way to where they get the downstream information or data or whatever else. They always say on an airplane, hey, it's not the flying that's the problem, it's the taking off and landing that's the problem there, you know. Usually the landing causes the most damage. It's that kind of discussion. And anyway, I don't mean to go on about this forever, Eldon, but I do want to kind of put it on the kitchen table because a lot of this is technical and people are going, what? I don't understand anything you're saying, Sam. Just understand that I'm telling you that computers can get so powerful, and they probably already have computers so powerful, that they can break your so-called encryption. Mathematics does not have an end. And they can continue getting smarter and faster and smarter and faster and better, and they can hack you. And if you think it's unhackable, you've been deceived. It just hasn't been done yet, or it hasn't been done to your knowledge yet. And when you think something's super encrypted, I may not even be able to break your encryption. That doesn't matter as long as I can get at it before or after. At some point, it's in the clear. It can't be used. And so all I'm telling you is these basic principles are understandable. And so when they tell you all this complicated stuff, don't let your eyes gloss over and then just say, but they say digital currency is good, so I believe them. Understand that it's not good. It's just another fiat currency. And I don't care what they come up with next, unless it's constitutional currency, it's bogus. Why? Because it has the, it doesn't have the intrinsic value. It has the fiat currency attributes. That's the problem. And it doesn't matter what they come up with next. I'll call it a fraud because I know better. I mean, if God wanted to use crypto, he could create crypto, couldn't he?
Sure.
See, but God in the Bible wanted us to use gold and silver. The founding fathers historically researched and said, you know what? Gold and silver is the only stable way to go. Just
That's
remember
right.
that, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to understand or know everything. But if you know those fundamental truths, you're going to be far ahead compared to any other so-called, you know, brainiac or rocket scientist or whatever else who wants to run circles around you. Don't fall for it. Just understand honest money versus dishonest money, and you'll be leagues ahead of everybody else. All right, speaking of that, the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is indeed front and center. And as you know, jury deliberations began yesterday, and they're continuing today. It's the second day of deliberations. People are bracing on both sides of this issue, no matter who, quote, comes out victorious here. Somebody, they say, is going to riot. You got people at the courthouse now on both sides literally agitating one another already, Eldon.
Yeah, they are. And really, this is, even though, yeah, technically you have Kyle Rittenhouse, he's the one being tried. I would say really this is a trial of the the Second Amendment, the right of self-defense, but also of just try to overturn some basic tenets of justice that have made the United States the envy of the world for so many years. So that's what's going on here.
Now, I submit to you that at the center of this is really we're all on trial. From a variety of points of view, let's let you start on that, and then I'll kind of chime in here. But I think we're all kind of on trial here with Rittenhouse a little bit. Right?
Yeah, you know, the prosecution, they've made some really outlandish statements, and the major news media has essentially let them slide. One of the arguments they made was, well, you brought a gun to this area. So therefore, you're basically provoking an attack, and you lose the right to self-defense. That is completely contrary to basic understanding of well, self-defense and justice or anything that you know, America was based upon, to argue that. But that's been one of their arguments. They, of course, nobody that attacked Rittenhouse was charged with any crime. That seems a little bit odd, doesn't it? These were three convicted felons. and we're supposed to believe from the major news media, at least, that, well, Kyle Rittenhouse was chasing them down when, in fact, it was the other way around. This is a total travesty. And the thing that's going on now, of course, is the of course, the jury is probably saying, well, okay, if we don't convict this guy of something, then what's going to happen to our families? What's going to happen to our communities? Because the mob is obviously going to try to do something. So this is a, well, it's just a media fiasco is what's going on. The media ought to be held accountable for this. But
to say the least, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, everybody's talking about the Rittenhouse trial for a lot of reasons. Gun Owners of America emailed me about it. Brent Mozell, media personnel, says lies about Rittenhouse. The media's biggest lies from the Rittenhouse trial. I'll break it down in seconds with Eldon Stahl on your radio.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Eldon Stahl and Sam Bushman on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the Rittenhouse trial. The liberal media is attacking the Rittenhouse trial with everything they have, ladies and gentlemen. The liberal liars at MSNBC are calling the judge now a white supremacist. The liberal liars at CNN had one of Rittenhouse's attackers on Anderson Cooper telling a different story than what he testified to at the trial. The liberal liars continue to paint Kyle as racist and evil despite any evidence to that. The attacks on truthful reporting are escalating as the liberal bias in the media is being exposed more and more for their dishonest shenanigans. You want to respond to that? That's from the family or the Media Research Center, Brent Bozell and crew, highlighting that reality. Eldon?
Well, yeah, the media, I mean, the thing that we should, one of the things we should learn about this is just walk away from the mainstream media. Just walk away. Turn the TV off. And, you know, you should have, we should have no business giving any attention anymore to these people who have perpetrated such gross misconduct so far as the media and journalism, if you call it that, goes. They're just propaganda ministers is what they are. We should not pay attention to them at all.
Amen to that. Anyway, I think Brent Bozell doing a great job there highlighting these realities. Gunners of America also chimes in and says, Gunners of America has proudly stood up for Kyle Rittenhouse since the get-go. You see, it's not just Kyle who's on trial. Your rights are on trial right now before all of America. All of these, quote, burdensome technicalities, rules, and red tape are nothing more than an attempt to limit and to ultimately end private gun ownership in America. And that right there is the entire goal of the anti-gun lobby, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the prosecutor virtually admitted that in the trial himself when he uttered the most logically incoherent statement you could imagine. Here's what he said. You lose the right to self-defense when you're the one who brought the gun. What? What are you talking about? That's where we are, Eldon.
Yeah, actually, you know, we still have the Second Amendment. It doesn't matter if you brought the gun or not. That's just totally irrelevant. If somebody is actually attacking you and has with, you know, reasonable, a person would say that this person is about to commit serious harm or kill you, then of course you have the right to self-defense. But the mental gymnastics that I witnessed in the prosecution was just astounding. And these men ought to be absolutely ashamed of themselves. But, you know, from time to time, I've heard that lawyers sometimes lie. So that's what happens in court. Hopefully the jury is able to see through that and also have the bravery, at least one of them, to stand up and say, I am not going to convict this young man of anything because he's facing life in prison. And of course, Gage Grosskreutz, this Huber fellow, none of them are facing any charges at all. So where's the justice in that? It's just absolutely astounding.
Well, and I think that really kind of tells a lot of the tale in this story, letting them understand all these burdensome technicalities. All these details are really, in my opinion, kind of at the, I don't know what you want to say, the core of all this discussion. You think it's just about Kyle. But what it's really about is they're setting the stage to say this. You've got kind of a castle doctrine, Eldon. In your own home, you have the right to shoot somebody and stop them or whatever. The debate is whether that, you know, carries with you outside of your home. And what they're really trying to do is trying to say you have no right outside of your home. And then eventually you'll have no right inside of your home. And what they're doing is they're chipping away at this. This isn't about him. And this is where a fully informed jury can really nullify now and say, we're not doing that. You know what? Even if he should not have done what he did, even if it might have been borderline and we can't decide the truth, we know that this, if we prosecute him for this, we know what it's going to do as a repercussion to the nation. And this is where a wise, fully informed jury comes in to understand what are we talking about here? A single case or the law and the changing of what the rules and laws and guidelines in America will be. This case will have repercussions downstream like never seen before, is the point that Gunners of America and Brent Bozell and many others are making about this. Eldon?
Yeah, it's very true. It's more than about Kyle Rittenhouse. I should correct myself, Anthony Huber. He was shot and he was trying to bash in Kyle's head with a skateboard. I'd say a skateboard can be used as a deadly weapon just as much as anything. So he's not facing charges. But Yeah, this is what's going on. It's our rights that are under attack, in this case, rather than just about a young man who got caught up in something that was a little bit more than he could handle. Thank goodness he actually had a gun, or we'd be basically talking about another statistics of a young man who got caught in a riot.
And here's the deal. So, whether Kyle should have been there, whether he should have brought a gun, no matter all these discussions that can be had, we need to be very clear that we understand, even if he may have done some foolish things, maybe he shouldn't have been there, maybe he shouldn't have had a gun, maybe he was asking for it. I don't know, but that's a quantum leap from that versus intentionally murdering people, which really they're trying to put all kinds of claims that that's the case, and the judge took the illegal gun issue right off the table from the get-go, but the prosecution still dishonestly referred to it as he had a gun he knew he shouldn't have.
Yeah, he's being charged with homicide. You know, homicide is saying that you intentionally, basically with malice, and tracked somebody down or, killed them. The videos show that is clearly not the case, that Kyle was at least a reasonable person would say he was trying to defend himself. Now they're trying to argue, the prosecution is trying to say, well, he should have, fought with his fists. So they actually argued this. He should have fought with his fists. Okay, so there's three men against one young man fighting with his fists. And by the way, Gage Grosskreutz did have a Glock pistol in his hand, so we know how that would have ended if Rittenhouse would have laid down his rifle and then he would have been shot by Mr. Grosskreutz. We wouldn't be having this trial. We would be having a funeral for at least one more person.
And I'm sad that this all went down, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I preach civility, because I don't want these kind of situations. Look, this poor Kyle Rittenhouse guy is going to have to deal with this for the rest of his life, that he killed someone. He's going to run through his mind for the rest of his life, was it justified? And I don't think we'll ever really get to the bottom of a lot of those answers, because a lot of it has to do with what his thoughts were, what other people's thoughts and actions were at the time. And we basically didn't hear from Kyle forever. Now he takes the stand and tells his side of the story. And it's interesting, even one of the guys that got shot said, oh, yeah, I pulled a gun on Kyle first there. And you look at this and you go, what does the jury do now? I'm afraid they're afraid to embrace the truth. And is that where we really are in these high-profile cases today, Eldon?
Well, it seems that way. It seemed apparent that was happening with the Chauvin trial up in Minneapolis, even though that wasn't quite as a clear-cut thing, of course. Each case is different. But certainly we could see that the jury was under intense pressure from the mob outside, and their identities were public. It was not difficult to figure out who these people are. And, of course, they feared for their families and their lives if they would not have convicted him of something. So we've got a similar situation happening here. Kind of strange that, they're bringing in apparently some 500 National Guard troops into Kenosha to quell the violence. You know, if they would have done that in the first place, if the governor of Wisconsin wouldn't have refused help for security, this riot probably would not have either happened or would not have been nearly as severe, and we might not be talking about this anyway.
Instead of a reasoned, appropriate response in the beginning, their response was too late, too late, too light.
Yep.
And then when the crisis occurs, now they're coming back too early, too heavy. And between that Hegelian dialectic opposition comes what? More government. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to reject that narrative, that's for sure. Eldon Stahl with me, JBS.org, thenewamerican.com, and I am Sam Bushman on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The jury in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial will enter a third day of deliberations Thursday. Another misstep by prosecutors has the defense team once again asking for a mistrial. At issue Wednesday was a piece of drone video that prosecutors showed the jury during closing arguments. It gave a poor quality to the defense team only after they rested their side of the trial. Judge Bruce Schroeder did not immediately rule on the request, but called the media's coverage of the trial frightening.
When I talked about problems with the media when this trial started, we were there in part because of grossly irresponsible handling of what comes out of this trial. The people should be able to see what's going on, but when I see what's being done, it's really quite frightening.
Florida passed four bills on Wednesday that protects workers who refuse the COVID-19 vaccine for their body. Once Governor DeSantis signs the bill, Florida will become the first state that fines companies that require COVID-19 vaccine as a condition of employment. USA Radio News.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain, you need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
From city streets to back roads, from road warrior to carpooler, there are some things you can always count on, like the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. No matter where your journey takes you, count on DieHard to get you started on the road ahead. Available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores.
President Biden was in Michigan to tout the bipartisan infrastructure law that has new money for projects around the country.
President Biden stopped in Michigan to again talk up the newly signed infrastructure bill, paying a visit to a GM electric vehicles plant in Detroit and getting to test drive a new electric Hummer. He also spoke on the benefits that he says that bipartisan infrastructure legislation will provide, including electric vehicle charging stations and more affordable internet for lots of Americans who have difficulty just getting connected right now.
No parent should have to do what a lot of you did and they did in my state and all over America. Should ever have to sit in a parking lot of a fast food restaurant again just so their child can use the internet.
From the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The farm equipment manufacturer John Deere strike has ended. UAW union employees approved the company's latest contract offer 61% to 39% last night. USA Radio News.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk, always at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Wow. All right, so the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, we'll keep an eye on the ball for you, but I'm telling you, it's not just Kyle's trial. It's your trial as well when the liberal liars are calling the judge a white supremacist. Are you kidding me? He was a great judge for years and years and years. Now he's just the enemy there. Yeah. You got one of the attackers of Anderson, Kyle, literally on Anderson Cooper, telling a different story than he did in court. Somebody ought to prosecute that, ladies and gentlemen. They paint Kyle's racist, and it's going on and on and on and on. They say you lose the right to self-defense when you're the one who brought the gun. Lie, ladies and gentlemen. That's the opposite from what made America great. I can promise you that. All right, do you know who Jake and Jelly is, ladies and gentlemen? You probably don't. But if I tell you, you will know. Jake Angeli, quote, a.k.a. QAnon Shaman, he got sentenced to 41 months in prison for the January 6th Capitol. They call it a riot. I'm not going to call it a riot. But there you have it. All right, now you say, what? Yeah. They say Jake Angeli, who protested at the U.S. Capitol during the January 6th event, you know, that's the guy that wore the hat with the horns and all that kind of stuff. He was sentenced on Wednesday. Jake Angeli, the Phoenix man who joined the riot, He had his face painted and his head topped with a fur hat and all that stuff, right? With horns. I guess he was selected and sentenced for 41 months in prison, given the 11 months he's already served. They say he's got about 2.5 years left on his sentence now in a federal prison. The judge said, I expect it'll be in a minimum security unit for this guy. Before the judge passed sentencing on him, Angeli got the chance to address the court, they say, for about 30 minutes. I didn't really know you got to do that, but in this case, he did. And they say he accepted responsibility for his crime, but said that he was not a danger to society. I may be guilty of this crime, absolutely, he said. Now, that's very interesting. Why would this guy literally double down and say he's guilty of the crime? But he says, I am in no way, shape, or form a danger to society, a dangerous criminal. I'm not a domestic terrorist. I'm not an insurrectionist. I'm a good man who broke the law. Angeli said he asked himself how Jesus would respond and Gandhi would respond. And he's trying to, well, accept responsibility. The hardest part about this is I know that I'm guilty. I messed up. But the judge says, even though you've got legitimate remorse, I just can't see to cut your sentence any shorter. But understand a couple of interesting things about this case. Are you ready for this? As far as I understand, this guy didn't commit any violence. All right? I find this really, really interesting. They say he didn't commit any violence. He wrote a note that said, watch out or whatever, we're coming for you. But I look at this thing and I just go, what was he really guilty of? Does he really belong in jail for 11 months plus 2.5 more years in a minimum facility center or whatever? He expressed remorse and responsibility for his crime. What crime? He said, I may be guilty of this crime, absolutely, he said. But I'm not a criminal, I'm not a terrorist, and all this kind of stuff. What is he totally guilty of? Do you even know, Eldon?
I don't know what he was convicted of. I mean, it seems obvious that he did trespass. He did enter the chambers of, I think, the Senate.
Hold on. See, I don't know that he's trespassed, though. Because we hear other stories that, you know what, police officers let people in. So when you don't break windows and you see a bunch of people going in somewhere and you go in too, you know, the question becomes, is it really trespass?
Yeah, right. There's that. That's a good point. So, you know, even that is kind of iffy. He has some... I don't know why he dressed up the way he did. That seems a little bit odd, especially for, you know,
now, listen,
Trump supporters things. But
listen
whatever.
To this. They say Angeli was not accused of any violence nor property damage during his time inside the U.S. Capitol. So no property damage, no violence. But they say he played a key role in goading on the crowd through shouts blasted through his megaphone. In other words, speech is what he's guilty of. Egging on the crowd through his megaphone. Right? They say he also went to the U.S. Senate. And he left a note for then Vice President Mike Pence that warned him, they say. It said, it's only a matter of time. Justice is coming. Now, I don't know why you're not allowed to say that. I hope it's a matter of time and justice is coming. But they say that note was particularly chilling because he was right there in the Capitol, not too far physically from Mike Pence at the time. He wasn't at home. Pence was close by. Now, they say that Angeli and others claim that his actions by himself and others have been peaceful. Now, they say, but he went into the building and he yelled an obscenity when he went into the Senate chamber. Now, I'm not for obscenities, ladies and gentlemen, but you've got America yelling obscenities all across the country after Joe Biden. They say that's not peaceful, that's chaos. She said, that's not peaceful, that's criminal obstruction. Now, I don't understand how you go into a place. What? I don't understand how you go into a place. You don't commit violence. You don't destroy any property. You think you might have the right to be there. You throw out a swear word and say, come on, guys, and yell around with a megaphone. I'm not saying that's great to do, but I don't find that criminal to any degree, ladies and gentlemen. They say that's criminal obstruction. I don't understand it. They say Angeli, who was charged under his legal name, Jacob Chansley, right? I don't understand this whole case. This is insane because the whole nation is yelling F Joe Biden. Now, the equivalent of let's go, Brandon. Now, I'm not for any of that, and I've stood against it from the start, but I'm just telling you, what's the difference? Where are we gone, Eldon?
Well, they're calling this guy a rioter, but it's kind of a unique rioter that doesn't create any violence, you know, doesn't break anything, doesn't burn anything down, doesn't hurt anybody. But the worst they can get him on is he let out some obscenities. He was using his megaphone, not sure what he was saying with his megaphone, but, you know, yeah, you shouldn't incite a riot, but if he did incite a riot, he did a very poor job of it because there really wasn't a riot by any traditional sense of the term anyway. So why should he be in there 41 months? It seems a bit excessive to me. Just my personal impression of that. I don't know all the details on this, but I don't know. It's just a strange thing that they would focus so much on this fellow that why do that? Seems political to me.
They say he was in the building for about an hour. He said, I walked through an open door. Now, his image was one of the first distributed by authorities. Now, they say agents searching his car found the fur hat and the horns inside and all this stuff. But I look at this thing and I say, you know what? They're on very, very shaky ground with this. And again, we talked about this Rittenhouse trial relates to you, my fellow Americans, and your gun rights. I submit to you that Jacob Chansley, a.k.a. Jake Angeli, quote, QAnon shaman, I think his sentencing is chilling because, again, he didn't commit any violence. He didn't destroy any property. He went through an open door. What he's guilty of is he wrote a note that said, hey, justice is coming. How dare you? And he yelled and everybody said, come on. And then he threw out a swear word. And this guy's literally going to be in jail for 41 months. That's the best they've got. And now the whole nation yelling obscenities at the president of the United States of America, right? This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? Just very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song, and will you listen?
Our next oldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation. And he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family, isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I reinstated a policy
first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Eldon Stahl with us, ladies and gentlemen. I think these trials in America right now have a big-time effect from Charlottesville. Don't you dare get out and have freedom of assembly, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be called a terrorist, a white supremacist, and be shut down. Unless you're on the left, then the FBI doesn't even monitor your violence and abuse and reactions to things in the public square. So don't use your First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. Don't use your Second Amendment, Kyle Rittenhouse, in America, because you're the one that brought the gun. You're the one in trouble. You got it? And third, so now you got this situation where, hey, if you go to the Capitol and try to peacefully assemble, it doesn't matter if you didn't violate any, destruction of any property. Doesn't matter if you didn't harm anybody or commit any violence. The fact that you ran around and used a swear word, and the fact that you ran around inside there, you're pretty guilty there, using your free speech like that. So, the inference really through all these cases is, America, your First and Second Amendment rights are gone. And how dare you even challenge them? And they're literally quadrupling down on this. I think this is an American discussion more than even the individuals at the trials at this point. That's really my honest belief. Eldon, do you want to respond to this? This is where we are in America. Can you believe we're even discussing this like this?
Well, it reminds me of when I went to the capital of Pierce, South Dakota with my sister-in-law. And we went there, long story short, I thought she would say, well, beautiful architecture and all this. When we got done, I said, what did you like about it? And she says, well, she's from Germany, by the way. And she said, well, I thought it was just neat that we could go in, because where I'm from, unless you're part of the government, you can't go in a government building. And that's from Germany. That's supposedly a free country. That really stuck with me a long time.
Yeah, it all depends on how you define free country there, buddy. But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. This is scary to me.
We just walked in,
Now the question becomes, if you're, quote, right wing, you're a criminal. If you're left wing, you're free to go, sir. That's really the inference from all these cases. Charlottesville proves the point. The Capitol building proves the point. There was liberals there. There was Antifa and Black Lives Matter and everybody else there. But the only people really arrested are the conservatives. Are the, quote, right-wingers. I don't believe in the Hegelian left-right-wing debacle in the first place, but that's how they're painting this, is, hey, you're a left-wing violent guy. We're not even going to keep track of it, says the FBI. But you're a white supremacist, and of course you are if you're white. You can't help it. Critical race theory doubles down, and that's the reality. You're an enemy, and that's what we've come to in America. Now, it turns out, even in this article about this gentleman, okay, this Jacob Chansley, a.k.a. Jake and Jelly, or whatever. Turns out they say this guy has some mental deficiencies and some disabilities, too, making his cognitive skills questionable. So you go, now we got some weirdo, wacko, that has questionable skills, that committed no violence and didn't destroy any property, and 41 months in prison? Now, I'm not defending this guy, because I think he was very foolish. But I'm telling you that the repercussions that are going to trickle down to you and I in America are serious. The whole nation's yelling, F the president. What's going to happen next, Eldon? What's this going to evolve to? Any idea?
Well, it depends if we stand up or not against it. We've got to, or we're just going to get steamrolled. We can't let this continue unanswered. Without some serious consequences. So If we organize, though, if we get involved, if we stand up and say just no, absolutely no, we can stop it. But we've got to.
All right, but I just got from House GOP a headline that I find even more scary. Breaking news from the GOP. Whistleblower confirms that FBI is using, quote, counterterrorism resources to now investigate parents in America who speak out at their government schools. Think about that for a chilling reality. So, you know, we push back, we stand up, and likely the FBI will go ahead and consider you a terrorist. But they're using literally counterterrorism measures and resources to investigate parents in America. How dare you reject your kid, you know, reading about pornography or whatever, and how dare you complain that your kid's being taught racial communist agendas, and how dare you? Okay, now they're literally, the FBI is, they claim they weren't looking into this, but now a whistleblower says, yeah, we are. It's even made up to the GOP.
Well, one thing I would say is now anybody that can, and I believe anybody can, where there's a will, there's a way. Ben Carson's illiterate, you know, single mother brought him up to be a, you know, a brain surgeon, basically. And she didn't even, you know, she didn't know how to read. But get your kid out of the public schools, the government indoctrination centers. You've got to do this. This is not something you can put off. You've got to find a way. Ask people. It's become a hostile environment, not just for the children, but for the parents as well. So do everything you can to get out of it. Hopefully that wasn't too strong.
Yeah, it turns out, well, it's not strong enough, I don't think. Jim Jordan literally documenting in Congress, okay, stating that the Department of Justice and the FBI were playing games and lied. I mean, it's to the point of a smoking gun now.
Yeah, it is. It's something that, you know, just coming to an awakening of our situation that we're in, we need to and just realize that, you know, yeah, the FBI previously may have been a very honorable, but now they're being used as a weapon against us. So it's something that is quite chilling.
Now, Representative Jim Jordan literally wrote a letter to the U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland saying, hey, you testified before Congress saying the FBI wasn't being used here, but now we have evidence that the FBI is. So now you got Garland literally lying on the stand. Where's the arrest? We're going to keep this kid that ran around and used a swear word with a bullhorn and didn't commit any crime, really? And he's guilty for 41 months, and Garland can literally lie to Congress and say no? The FBI and the Justice Department not using the, and it turns out they are? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a you know, we're in a difficult situation, to put it mildly, with that. Trying to, you know, I don't know if you'd say abolish the FBI, but it's
gotten to the point where... I'd abolish that sucker. You show me how it's constitutional and we'll talk about it.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, there's very few actual federal crimes that are the federal government should be involved in. You know, on the bright side, there's been a bill that's, it's not perfect, but to decriminalize on the federal level the possession and use of marijuana and leave that to the states. We'll see where that goes, but it seems to be picking up steam. So maybe, you know, and that's nullification, which, you know, these people that are pushing the Constitutional Convention of States, they'll poo-poo that idea, but it's actually working. Not that I'm saying people should, you know, light up the marijuana, but there's some light there that if we do push back in the right way, that we can put that genie back in the bottle.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, final story before the end of the hour that I want to get to. You know, Joe Biden has been pushing this vax mandate. He doesn't have authorities in the wrong branch of government to create law, by the way. A very simple fourth grade history lesson tells you got the judicial branch. Those are the people that judge the law. You got the executive branch. Those are the people that carry out the law. And you got the legislative branch. That's the people that create the law. Well, Joe Biden created a law, and he's in the wrong branch of government, so it ought to be just DOA, dead on arrival. But everybody kind of let that press release and then the so-called unconstitutional OSHA carry the ball. But people are suing left and right, and a court basically put a stay on it. Then other courts doubled down and defended the stay. And now the headline says OSHA suspends enforcement of vaccine mandate after court blocked. The Epic Times with the piece. The Labor Department's Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, has suspended the enforcement of the Biden administration's COVID-19 mandate for private businesses. The announcement came shortly after a U.S. appeals court. So even a U.S. appeals court rejected it, by the way. Rejected a challenge by the Biden administration and reaffirmed its decision to put on hold the mandate, ladies and gentlemen. So this is interesting. Even a appeals court, so they said, hey, we're going to first off, they sued and said, Biden, you can't do this. Then the court said, that's right, put a stay on it. Then Biden appealed, and even the appellate court said, no, Joe, on November the 12th, reaffirmed his decision to put on hold OSHA's mandate. That's really, really telling. Now, I'm not really a fan of using the courts in all this, but I will say it's at least a step in the right direction for now. Eldon.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. You know, it's we've seen also several states pushing back on this. Utah just passed some protections for employees. There's several things working their way through the process in Idaho. This is probably not the only state that this is happening in legislatively as well. But, yeah, people are – I've noticed that this is a very hot issue. People are just up in arms. People that would normally not get involved in politics or anything, they're getting involved. So this is it's awakening a sleeping giant, so to speak, with doing stuff like this, because it affects people in just, you know, they can't not get involved.
Now, here's the problem. Even though the stay has been given, even though OSHA backed off and did the right thing, White House officials and the president are still calling on employers to carry it out. We think people should not wait, White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters. So they say, we say do not wait to take actions that can keep you safe. Employers should not wait for legal matters to be resolved before adhering to Biden's vaccine requirement. Now, ladies and gentlemen, so let me get this right. You got this character, this whacked out guy that's got some mental problems that runs around with horns on his head, goes into the Capitol, uses a bad word, tells everybody, come on, let's do this thing, whatever. And then this guy's in prison for 41 months and Joe Biden's saying, ignore the courts. Just ignore the courts and we're fine. Where's the impeachment of Joe? He's out of control, and the people better stop him while we can. Eldon, final words yours. 20 seconds, sir.
Yeah, definitely deserves impeachment, but also it's something that we don't want to have a king. The only king should be Jesus. That's the rallying cry of the revolutionaries declaring independence. We need to get back to that.
Wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We call for the rule of law, ladies and gentlemen. We call for the checks and balances that really is the genius of America to operate in our behalf. And it's we, the people, that need to insist on them. For Eldon Stahl, Sam Bushman, Brian Rust, God save the Republic.